My name is Joachim Wiersma. I'm current chair of the C3 division. Thank you for being here for the business meeting. We'll make this hopefully quick, which is always kind of a risk when you put an extension guy in charge. We want to make it because there's other obligations, including some of you that are on the editorial board for Agronomy Journal. There's a meeting. Of course, there's posters later on. Having said that, see if I can work this magic too. The agenda looks worse than it is, okay? First, we have the call to order we just had. We actually do have an agenda. We do have minutes. They're even color-coded, thanks to my secretary. I will actually take a motion to approve the agenda as it is on the screen, as you haven't had a chance to read it yet. Can everybody live with this agenda? So moved? Thank you. I forgot Robert's rules long, long time ago. Do we have a unanimous vote to move forward? Okay, there we go. Thank you. Next thing is the minutes. Last year's minutes, I tried to put those together. There's one or two errors in it with the numbers on the number of posters. I think they're minor. We'll correct them in the final version that will be posted on the C3 website. If there aren't any major concerns, you had a chance to read them on the email. I'll take a motion to approve the minutes unless there is any objections. Is there a second to the motion by Dave Holzhauer?
Would the motion be to dispense with the reading of the previous minutes and approval of the minutes as written?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you. I like that little addendum that makes one less motion. Was there a second? Yeah. Anybody in favor of that motion? Please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And then we'll right away, there's been two requests, slight modifications to the motion, but I think it maybe makes a change to the agenda, is the divisional business. Jeff, you want to go first?
Sure. Jeff Lemonet, incoming president-elect of CSSA, and that means, what that really means is that I get to work with your division officer to set up next year's program. And so I just want to make a couple of comments about that and really ask you to help us through your division officers put together for the really good meetings next year. Meetings are early. They're in October, October 16th. Cancel the calendar that. That gets you by surprise. The theme has been decided, and it is fundamental life, soil, crop, and environmental science. And it's in part to celebrate the anniversary, the 75th anniversary of the Soil Science Society of America. And so that's a pretty big deal. We let them go first to the soil crop, and otherwise, you know, I want to consist of that crop soil. We'll get some slack this year, so bear with it. So think about the kinds of programming that you want to see next year. There's a lot of bioenergy this year. I think that worked well for some people, but not everyone. Okay? I mean, programming is a little bit of a challenge, but think about what you want to learn, what's on the cutting edge of crop management, you know, what's out there that's really going to make a difference in your careers, your professional development, 5-10 years down the road. Think about the plenary people we need to bring in to the society, both the tri-societies. How many of you went and saw Thomas Friedman? And your response? Was it a good thing?
Excellent.
Yep.
I mean, that's a departure from our norm. Most of you were where they're probably gathered at. Kind of out of the box. If you want to see more of that kind of thing, please let us know. Out of the box, and it costs more if you get some of that Friedman to come. And so it raises your, you know, it's a couple of movie tickets for each of you to see the guy in person and then listen to him. So think about that kind of impact, the modest cost associated with it, worth us continuing that kind of thing, right? You need to know. Think about the plenary sessions, what you want to see crafted for you within the society. What kinds of things we as a society like to pull together.
next year, it will be, we will have Monday, okay? It will be the day, and so Mondays, the morning will be blocked out. We'll have the morning, half the morning, we really focus on something or here in your society. Let me know those ideas. Is it through Emerson? Who's the, you're the board rep. Who's the chair next year?
Jeff Edwards.
Jeff, okay? Through Jeff, because he'll work with the society membership or the planning team to pull this together. So, any questions?
As chair, Jeff, if you don't want to, you can see me afterwards. We had the assignment to be the ears and eyes for the programming chairs, and so if you have any comments that you want to share personally with me, I'll take it upon me to funnel those, and I'll keep them anonymous.
Comment. I went to the ASA breakfast this morning in the plenary, and that's after years of trying to find the right place and the right time to have the awards and this kind of thing, this seems to be about the best I've seen it. Now, CSSA is tomorrow morning.
That's right.
We'll see if that's the same, but it's a good $5 breakfast, and it also, the room was really pretty full. I don't know how many people were there, but it's been a real struggle. Some of you remember, we moved the awards to the afternoon. It used to be a lunch, attended by not many, and then even less, and then a few more, and I think finally this looks like it may be worth it. It did conflict with some sessions. They started at 8. There weren't very many. Most of them started at 10, but and tomorrow morning, I already complained to the board that it conflicts with the agronomist breakfast that we've had since time
run extension.
But I don't know how you do those without conflicting with anything, unless you just say nothing else happens but this. And C and S divisions, presumably, could do something while A was starting, or at least S.
Well, they have to block out A. But C3 is a lot like A.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
They have a lot of things in common. That's why that impacted this group, probably, I'm so to say, somebody in molecular genetics. But given that, we will be sensitive to that. Would you be willing to move it earlier? What time can you get up? I'm a dairy farmer, right? 5 a.m. is no big deal.
If you keep it on the east coast, on the west coast, you know, I've been waking up at 5, going, okay, what am I going to do now?
Yeah. Well, give us feedback. It's important. I mean, give us feedback. I think Emerson's on to something. I think this finally does work better. I mean, the sadness is that, you know, we've tried for years. How do you get a crowd to recognize the fellows and the award winners in a meaningful way? You know, it shouldn't just be those folks recognizing each other. You know, it's really a celebration of what they've achieved and what you will hopefully achieve in your careers here to be recognized. So we want to come up with a way to do that. We also shorten the meeting.
3 p.m.
Free wine. Well, okay. Breakfast is a little early for me, but plenty there. But also the other thing we changed, and I want your feedback on, we're to a 3-day really stop on Wednesday. Nothing on Thursday. That causes to crunch some things, okay? If that works for you, if you're okay with that, let us know. If you're not, you know, I've given papers on Thursday, I imagine most of you have. You feel like an orphan. You are talking then to speakers in your session, and that's about it. So that was the strategy there. So there's been some pretty big changes. Please let us know through your officers or email me directly if you want, and we'll work for you, okay?
One of the concerns I've had several sessions complain about pillars in middles of rooms.
When we toured this summer, we noticed that. And how can they be moved? They said, can't. I mean,
no.
This is over on the seaside place here where they've got these. I'm sorry.
No, but when you do the site evaluations the first time, who values the quality of the rooms?
Well, what happens?
Okay.
We weren't going to initially use this, but we had enough submissions that we had to get more rooms. That's why some of them are over here, and it's a little bit hard to and saw that green carpet to go across the exhibit hall. So you could follow the elder grove, or figure you'd follow an agronomic group. But it means that these groups do have these pillars. And that's okay. The downside.
Okay.
No. So I'm not saying that would always happen, but it is because we squeezed you into 3 days.
Okay.
We knew this would happen. Any other thoughts?
Just a general thing about scheduling meetings with you in general. I know the long-term view, we have to find good venues that are cheap and reduce around a little bit. But I look down through the next 5 meetings and there's a couple bad ones. So I don't know.
Which ones are bad?
Well, I mean,
San Antonio and Cincinnati.
But Seth, that's because you live in Minneapolis and know what can happen on that date. I think if you look at the overall cost, if I look at the overall cost, and I do enough program planning, $50 on the total price of what it cost me to be here versus having conflicts with Harvest, that's a minor, the $50 is not the straw that's going to break the camel's back. And so in my experience as program planner, I have the most success if I have predictability in the dates that I program that I put my program on. And so if you stick with the first week of November, you have a better chance that people are willing to work their schedule around that because it's predictable, it's going to happen every single year.
Plus or minus.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. We're going to have one additional speaker here, Charles Brummer. Do you want to start right there?
Yeah, I'm Charlie Brummer, and I have a couple things I want to talk about publication-wise. The first is I just came from a book subcommittee meeting, so we do publish books, as you all probably are aware, and we're always looking for new ideas for books or people to take the lead on writing a book or editing a volume. So if you are interested in doing that, contact me or anybody at headquarters. There's a little form to fill out that I'm planning to do. But we're always looking for books. Symposiums next year, for instance. You might think you want to put a symposium together and have a book come out of that. That's a real good opportunity. The next thing I want to mention is that Mark Westgate, who's not here today, I'm also sort of filling in for him in the crop science role, he is stepping down as editor of Crop Science at the end of the year. I've made a recommendation to Joe, as we voted on Thursday morning by the board, for Sean Kepler from Wisconsin to be the new crop science editor. So barring a decision from the board, he'll be coming on first of the year. I think he'll do a really good job. As far as journals, Crop Science is the name, of course, but don't forget, if you have germplasm, some of you may be working with germplasm developing the journal plant registrations, and also the plant genome for molecular types of work. Originally that journal was kind of circumscribed to be very molecular. Now it's lagged somewhat, so consider that if you have some molecular interests. As far as crop science, so Mark has given me a handout, but I don't want to have a handout to all of you. A couple of statistics about C3 though. It's about a month from submission to first decision. This division, which is really good, one of the best divisions in that regard. 21 papers submitted, and this year it looks like there's been 41 submitted so far, and about half are accepted. So that's about average. One thing about crop science is we've seen the impact factor go up quite considerably in the last couple of years. It's 1.73 now, and regardless of what you think about impact factors, I don't think much of them, but some people do, and so it's a good thing. It's moving in the right direction. One thing that's driving that is increase in review papers. So if any of you want to write a review paper, review interpretation, you're going to be highly cited, and it's very good for the impact factor return. Any questions? I think I'll just leave it at that. Any questions about publications?
The question for those who didn't hear it, question was that crop science doesn't. The question is crop science representing C3 adequately? Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah. I guess my response is that as long as you're publishing society journals, we're not going to say too much. But I think it's up to you. It's up to you all.
Well, I think one statistics that Dr. Brummer brought up is the rejection rate. There would be a discrepancy in if C3 papers wouldn't come through or would be partially reviewed, that would be reflected in the acceptance rate. But you just mentioned that it's on par with the other.
That's right. At least to me, and I'm filling in for Mark in this regard, but just looking at the quick look at the statistics, it doesn't appear that this section's out of line with the other.
I'm an A for C3, and frankly, I would welcome getting more production papers coming through. I don't get that.
Right. Well, I got rejected.
Oh, that wasn't me.
But it said, like, new physiology when you submit to C3, and just go for more applied journal, like in yield components, weight bearing measurements. It's like this has been done already. We don't need a new environment. It's more like real parts research. And then I looked at the TEAEs. I didn't recognize too many names.
We're always looking for both TEs and AEs, so.
I'm with, I should be at the
Glossy
meeting right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good point. One I was talking about earlier this week as well, that C3 production papers have never seen a really logical fit. And then when Agronomy Journal made their aggressive move to have everybody here send their papers to them, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of resistance. And a lot of us, I suspect, in this room, we published more in Agronomy Journal in the last 2 years than we have in crop science. And I think that's one of the things we may need is a better definition of how a paper should go here rather than Agronomy Journal.
Yeah,
and maybe it should be something that, as simple as, the last paper I put in crop science was a damaged paper. Doesn't seem to fit here. And maybe the other possibility would be to define something like if it's got a genetic component. Crop science is really not a genetic sphere at all. Some of us would have some kind of thing there. So
maybe they should rename it to crop ecology and production ecology.
Well, I think those are issues that certainly should bring up with Sean if he takes over. But we're certainly open to those debates, and we're certainly open to having anyone come onto the editorial board if you want to think it's not serving a specific niche.
Who is a TE for a C3 paper?
And frankly, we get more papers come through C3 that I think are more hardcore physiology that would fit better somewhere else. That as an associate editor, that's been difficult, but I will forward that information.
Okay.
Anything else?
Nolan's mentioned crop management.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. And so the other journals the society sponsors is in the plant management network, crop management, or forages and grazing lands, and applied turf grass science. And those for applied papers, especially, is a very good outlet. They seem to have a wide distribution for practitioners, people who use them in the field.
Don't forget that we own 1/3 of JEQ.
Oh, that's right.
Very happy when you do because it makes fun.
Anything else?
No.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll continue with the divisional business. Dr. Lauer is.
Thanks, Jochen. A couple of things. Jeff and covered a lot of some of the things I was going to talk about here. Just a couple of things business-wise as far as the division. The annual meeting, I don't know if you're at the award banquet this morning, but Ellen announced that we have over 3,800 members registered as of this morning, and that's kind of a new record for the last 5 years. So that's good news. Our membership is up in the Crop Science Society of America. We've got about 4,923 members as of August 31st, and so that is up about 240 from the same time last year. As far as our budget is concerned, Emerson's our treasurer, and I'll just give some highlights, and Emerson can maybe fill in the details a little bit if you want. Our projected revenue is around $2 million. Our expenses are about $1.9 million, so we're looking at about $100,000 profit at budgeted at this point. It was September, I think, when that came out. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add there.
Well, I'm not a treasurer, by the way. I'm a chair of the Budget and Finance Committee for CSSA, and we moved that to a 3-year term now. It doesn't have to be more. For the next 2 years. And we projected last year an operating surplus of 52, or for 2010 of 52,000, and it's probably going to be better than that. You know, we try to get those close, but we probably exceeded our projected operating income for the last 3 or 4 years, I think. They're a little bit funny numbers. We quit what we used to do 10 years ago was, you know, the gap would be huge and negative, I think, in many cases, but we would never actually have it. So we've tried to make it a little rational and try to get good guesses. If you're interested, I've got the budget here and the reports from the last few years. And it's, you know, crop science is, most of what we do in the society spends money, doesn't make money. The annual meeting, crop science, Journal of Environmental Quality. Those are the three things that make money. And crop science makes about, brings in a net of its cost about $300,000 a year. The thing that's changed a little bit, and it's been a positive one, is the formation of access. That just means that no longer are we paying Agronomy Society, big bad against the world, for the privilege of being, you know, in the same building. But we own 1/3, Crop Science Society owns 1/3 of the new building. We pay some for the maintenance, but we also pay to access their sort of management fee, I'll call it. And that's actually the percentage of that has dropped. And what we pay to access is based on the amount of money that we've spent. That's how it's proportioned. So we're not paying 1/3 of access. We're paying our percentage of the total expenditure of A, C, and S. And C is the smallest of those three in terms of our operations. So it's been pretty good up to this point. Things are on an even keel. We sort of like to keep them that way. Our We did use some of our reserves to purchase the building. The old building is up for sale. That hasn't been sold yet, Joe, right? We do get some of that when it's sold, I believe. And so, you know, I think that we're in pretty positive shape. We're almost certain to exceed our $52,000 or something we budgeted as our operating surplus for the current year. And partly because I think income from annual meetings might be better than projected. And the other good news, I guess, Houston wasn't the disaster we thought it would be. You know, that was, we made a little some money on it. So I don't see any threats to our stability. Keeping people interested, libraries and so on, and buying crop science is pretty critical because that's part of the way it makes money. Now we divide the dues, and we've talked about this in the past. The dues get divided up in a different way. If you're a C and an A member, then half of your dues goes to C and half goes to A. So that's actually been positive for C, I think, compared to the old formula. We bring in more now than we did then. And if you have comments or questions, anytime, you can let me know our concerns. Jeff mentioned some of them. You know, we want to dispense this for every annual meeting and some of that. All in all, fairly healthy at this point, and hoping to keep it that way. I'll just add that our investments that we have on deposit with a company in New York City, I guess they're in Washington. They've done just about what you're investing. Down pretty badly, and then the rebound is some. And Wes, he accounts those to sort of annual income. I kind of ignore them because, you know, my concern is that we operate in the black every year, and the other money that we have is reserves. We've operated in the black, I think, every year, certainly, that I've on the board.
Okay. There was a question?
I was just curious, books as a whole?
No, books are losers.
Why are we losing books?
I think there's still that hope that, you know, one might hit someday. what they've done is basically they've limited our exposure by not printing bunches of them. With the technology today, you can kind of print them on demand. Some of this, talking to Harry Fran Katz, who's the publications manager, you know, some people in the society just said, hey, I'm going to do a book. And then they harass authors for a couple of years. And finally, there's a book that apparently appears that nobody really wants to buy.
I think that's changing to some extent, though, because we are encouraging people to do special publications because of the print on demand capability. I think we need to keep doing that. And I don't know if we'll lose money because we don't have to print all those books ahead of time. Maybe just have them sit. But if it's print on demand, you know, then it's really the time of the authors. And some of those are really valuable. I mean, really, it's really nice to have a snapshot of where we're at. So
there's not a lot of print cost for those because we don't pay authors very much of any. So. But I think the other part of it, we've never really thought like a publishing company, like, what would people really want to buy? You know, it might be something like a lab manual or something like that. Those are, you look back, I mean, company textbook companies, but those are the ones that make money. Because people say, hey, I'll take $1,000. Selling individual books, I don't know, Joe, when the last monograph would have been a problem. It's been a while. There's a whole bunch of those that are historic somewhere in Madison that have been recycled.
I think one thing we should acknowledge too is Emerson. We went through some pretty tough economic times, and budgets were adjusted. I know Emerson was involved with the discussions with Wes and Allen, and we've come through that very well. And like I said, our projected budgets are being very positive, and Emerson's a part of that. So I sure appreciate that, Emerson. Again, these special publications, Charlie that you could be a contact, but also David Balsenberg is chairing that committee. And if you have an interest, I think we're, again, trying to push that to get information out there from the societies. And that's one thing that, you know, for recruitment and everything else. And now with the different technologies we've got, we might be able to make that possible. A couple of other things. We became a founding member of the Global Plant Council, which is a worldwide organization for plant scientists basically work together. And so we're a part of that now. Maria Vial, who's the incoming president, has been very instrumental in getting us involved in that. And it's more of a worldwide organization. And so we're looking for someone to represent us on that Global Plant Council. A couple of things that have happened, and again, I didn't really understand this until I got involved with the societies and on the board of directors and things, but one of the things that we've really seen in Washington, D.C., especially with Obama, is the administration request for what they call grand scientific challenges. We put together a committee to try to identify goals for Crop Science Society. We came up with six of them, and they are posted on the web, and they are set up so that they can be edited. It's going to change through time, change through administrations, and we just encourage people from the division to make sure they're represented within these challenges, because this year gets pulled, around Washington with NSF and USDA and some of the other granting organizations. So again, one way to get active over there. So okay. The other thing that we've done is we moved away from CAST this past year and got involved now with our own science policy committee that works between the board of directors and the Washington office. And this is basically a way, we hope, to become a little bit more nimble, if you will, with some of the different policy issues that come through Washington, D.C. The first paper that's coming out is going to be a paper on climate change and plant breeding adaptation, ways to the plant breeders to adapt to the climate change issues. This will be coming out probably in November, for sure December. And it'll be a white paper, position paper, that we can then again use around Washington, D.C. There's kind of a queue of these papers that the committee's identified. The second one that's coming out is going to be probably on something like biofortification of some of the crop plants that are nutritional type things that crop scientists work on. So that would be kind of the second one in the queue. But again, these are papers that are used for the legislature and NSF and things like that to really present our views on where our society is going as a whole. I think it's a good thing because it really gets the board involved, your representative, which is Emerson, involved with this whole process of policy in Washington, D.C. I think that's a good thing. CAST seems a little bit more removed, and there's a lot of good things about CAST, but we're trying this for a while, and we'll be back to CAST. I don't know, down the road, but we'll see if this works. Yes, Tony.
So that there are these, there are some of the like anything else. If you want something or something somewhere along the line, I guess it's just a
conversation. A lot of those decisions that were made as far as due structures and things happened after we left. And I, like I said, I don't think we have eliminated CAST as a way to get some of the things done in Washington, D.C. But we have gone, the board is committed to go down this road for now, and this may not work out this way either. It takes a lot of time. So I'm going to remember somebody. So stay tuned. One other thing that the board did this past March was developed our strategic plan again. Fran Pierce talked this morning about the path that we're on and things. And this path that we're on is articulated, if you will, in the strategic path plan, which you can download and take a look at if you want to do that. It's kind of where we're going for the next 5 years. Of course, things come up that you just can't foresee, and we need to work on some of those. But this is kind of the plan that we're going. A lot of it has to do, I think, with some of the new technologies that are coming out, especially information technology, things, and how we adapt as a society to get to deal with those things. Because our journal is one of the major income generators that we have. Finally, the last point I want to make, Jochen, is we need to get candidates for the next year's ballot. For CD3, we need two candidates for the chair-elect, the program chair. And we'll need to get
taken care of,
great. And then we also need to have a candidate or president-elect from the division there. And anybody that wants to, I haven't gone through this now. I think it's a great thing. It's amazing the people that you meet and work with. And I really encourage you to get your name in the hat and consider yourself as a president-elect candidate. These names will be put into a pool, one for each society, and then two will be pulled out, and then they'll be part of the election process. So, any questions or comments or suggestions, I can take that to the board. All right, good. One last thing. Jochen, I need to present you with a certificate here. The certificate reads, the Prop Science Society of America recognizes with gratitude Jochen Wiersma for dedication and service as the 2010 C3 Prop Ecology Management Quality Division Chair. Thank you, Jochen.
Thanks. Emerson, do you want to add anything more than you already did? We already talked about the nominations for the division chair. That's been taken care of. We'll come back and let it in a little bit. And as far as Crop Science Society of America president, you already mentioned it. I'm one of the things. You find out what your duties are after you basically have been elected. I'm trying to prevent that with Burton, and I'm trying to prevent that with Vince Davis, and the other and Chatley, who are the nominees for C3. But one of the things is, indeed, I'm on the nominating committee also for the CSA president. And so if you have interest, or if you know people that you really think should be on that ballot, please contact me. We'll go...
One thing on that. Jeff Blanik is the incoming president-elect. Yeah. The tradition, I think it's chiseled in stone somewhere, is that this... go back and forth between a breeder and a non-breeder. So Jeff would be the non-breeder. And I think that would mean that the next person we nominate would probably be a breeder.
Emerson, that was changed.
That is.
Yeah, that was changed. It's the one. Jeff is a member of C6, so C6 he might have a candidate.
Yeah, the way I read the instructions was that since the current chair, our incoming chair, isn't C3, we actually have a voice at the nominating committee, which would be through me.
We so have two C3 presidents. We all fulfill Weeble, so some would say we fulfill our for about 10 years. But
Emerson, if you're interested. So, if you know of anybody within C3 that you think would make a good candidate, I'm willing to talk to those individuals, and I'm willing to move those names forward to the nominating committee. We'll go over into a little bit of the stats. If you look at membership, Joe talked about the increase overall in membership. Of those members, 343 are primary C3 members, so that's the first designation is indeed C3. Almost 21% actually have some C3 somewhere in the second, third, or fourth category in there. And so we actually have, you know, a lot more members than are here present. What I did then is ask what actually the participation rate was for coming, and basically we can judge that on the registrations. There's 319 of those 1,100 members that are supposedly here. And it might actually have been a little bit higher given that there's been a fair amount of on-site registration. We cannot split that out by primary and secondary or tertiary. And this is a little bit inflated, but I looked at active participation, meaning that primary authors here. I try to calculate that out, and it's a little bit difficult, but I do have the total numbers. We have of posters, we actually have 78 posters, and that's a 39% increase. Now, that looks like a really big jump, but this is partially the function of getting some emails back and forward about the bioenergy crops and having a whole bunch of posters. Basically, we did what I would call a cow trade and got a whole bunch of posters in and swapping a bunch of oral sessions out of that. So I lost like 3 oral sessions and got 12 posters back. But that is a function of, indeed, and I'll warn Jeff about this, and Burton, if you come in, that's communication. And we talked in the incoming chairs that if you have ways to help us with that, as a members too, communicate that to us in what divisions we can swap things back and forth. It makes programming, from our vantage point of a chair, a lot easier. But you know, the numbers look pretty good, 78 posters, oral, we actually went up to 19. And we did something a little bit through the back door in the symposia. Normally, as a division in C, you have 2 half-day symposia. Well, depending on how you consider what a half-day is, in academia, that would still half-day would still run from 10 till 3 or so. We actually did 2. And the reason we have 2 full-day symposia is that we teamed up with a couple of divisions in a Z-Series symposium on data sharing yesterday, and then we have this full-day symposium. So if you think as membership that that is a wise investment of the time of the chair in trying to get 2 full-day symposia, have ideas, and Jeff, we'll come back to that in a little bit. I can tell you, for those of you that are interested, the ConfEx software in trying to plan these meetings, it's great. You know, I heard all these horror stories about how this was going to be so tedious. That's not the tedious part. We still made mistakes, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. Finances, because of the C-Series Symposium not waiving right now registration fees, I probably spent some more money than my predecessors. We're not in the scenario of the A, you know, agronomy. I still want to keep them divisions, call them divisions. We don't have a zero-based budget. We had about $1,139 to spend. We're roughly going to spend about 45% on that. So we have a higher expense rate than what Kurt had last year, but we did that. I took that on me to spend more on the C-Series Symposium. The other as far as the other things that we have in the division, Jeff, we made last year the motion, and it was in the minutes, that the incoming chair is responsible for the C3 website. And so, Jeff, you have any things to say about the website?
We updated it, and if you have any suggestions on ways to improve it or change those, direct those to Burton.
Okay. So that's as far as the website. Greatest student poster competition, Craig.
Yes.
You wanna start from here?
Want to thank everybody for entering the competition. We had 22 entrants in the session. There was a slight mix-up. We had some that entered other sessions, but also checked participation in the poster competition. Initially, I had planned to include those in there and had every intention to do so, but by the time I got to last week, it finalized things. It totally slipped my mind. And I wasn't reminded of it until we were all done yesterday. So I apologize to those in that situation. Totally my fault. So we may get a nomination for poster chair. Do you want to review the prizes? Because I don't have that in my head.
Okay. Now you're asking me something. If I recall right, the first prize winner, as always in most government agencies, the check will be of NGOs. The check is in the mail, but the first prize winner is, I believe, a gift certificate of $300, second prize is $200, and the third prize is a $100 gift certificate.
I knew it was something like that, but I didn't know for sure, so that's why I asked. So, as I mentioned, we had 22 entrants that we evaluated. I thank the judges who helped with that. David Dornbos, Calvin College, Rudd, Elmore, Iowa State, Doug Shoup, Kansas State, and Samuel Hesloff from Colorado. That's my appreciation. And we had a fine group of folks to evaluate. So I want to start off with the third place poster. Goes to Brian Harris.
Thank you, Craig. Okay. We've now come to the nomination portion of the meeting, and I already let the cat out of the bag. As chair of the nominating committee, we looked around the three of us, the previous chairs, to look at individuals that we think can, you know, contribute to it and be dynamic and be willing to serve the division. And we found Chatley as an extension agronomist at the University of Kentucky to be willing to run. And he'll be running against Vince Davis, extension agronomist at the University of Illinois. And I want to thank both of you for willingness to serve your division. Guys, this is not a punishment. It's not as bad as you think.
It is an honor.
Okay. Now, Greg, that gets us to the next nomination, and here I'll take nominations from the floor. We do look for every single year for a chair for the graduate student poster competition, and this process, you know, Greg just, and I'm just as much as at fault, I'll take that blame on me as Greg is. Every single year we try to improve the competition, and part of it we're still learning from Convex, and I, to my surprise, I had people registering for the graduate student poster competition in an oral session. And it had to do with, yeah, you can frown your eyebrows a little bit, it had to do with that there's a little checkbox as you submit the abstract. But that checkbox shows up in every single session that you create. And that was unbeknownst to me, and thus also to Greg. We'll try to indeed to circumvent those problems. And that's, Jeff, that's one of the things you're going to have to take care of. But nonetheless, we still want to continue, I think, the graduate student poster competition. And so first and foremost, I want to have nominations from the floor for chair. Are there any nominations to serve? Is anybody willing to serve again for chair for the student poster competition?
I'll do it again,
nothing else. Okay. We have one nomination. Any other nominations? I'll move to seize nominations. Okay, I only hear nods. We'll go somewhat with Robert's rules. All those in favor, is there a unanimous ballot to have Greg Rosenbaum serve one more year as chair for the graduate student poster competition?
Aye.
All right. Thank you, Greg, for willing to serve once more. And then this kind of ends, you know, my role here as chair, and the incoming chair will take the meeting from here. And so there's the passing of the gavel. Now, a long time ago, I served in a student club in the Netherlands, and there actually was a gavel, a true gavel that you could use and actually pass on. It seemed, you know, somewhat of this ritual. And so I started thinking about this, and then I started thinking about TSA, and most of us work with at least a 3-pound sledgehammer to put stakes in, right? And I go like, well, maybe I should, as C3, I should really buy a 3-pound sledgehammer and make that our gavel and pass that on. And then the thought of TSA came into mind and go like, oh, shoot, and there's a 25-pound limit, and it's got all kinds of trouble. So I came up with something creative. I got to find it now. Unfortunately, I didn't do any quality control. It is leaking. So we're going to have to patch this darn thing up, Jeff. But Jeff, thanks for helping with the symposium. Put this to good use. It's kind of weird. And then hopefully I didn't load the wrong PowerPoint, because I'm just realizing that there was one number missing in the previous slide, which makes me think I put the wrong slide on. Yep. Oh no, it is there. Good.
Well, thank you, Joachim. And appreciate the gavel. I was expecting a laurel and hearty handshake. Well, let's see. Just to close things out today, we have just a couple more items of business to take care of. Again, to remind everybody that the meeting's next year, October 16th through 19th in San Antonio. So everyone's looking forward to getting to Texas, Brent. So looking forward to that. And that is the 75th anniversary of CSSA. And the last item on the agenda, at least that we'll cover today, is putting forth some symposia ideas for next year. Now, I sent out an email a couple of weeks ago asking for ideas. Only got a couple of responses. So I pulled out a couple of ideas from last year as well. One was changes in crop management to maximize potential of new genetic technologies, and Drew Lyon suggested that one, and that's, in my opinion, very, very similar to what we had today. Maybe a little different slant on it, but we certainly had some, if you were at any of the sessions today, we had some really good discussion. I've got another one from someone at CIMMYT, prediction of breeding and phenotypic value using high-density markers and breeding plans that make optimal use of high-density markers. Joachim suggested one, has the time come to reinvent the moral plots, the broadbalk plots, and the Rodale plots, and if so, how? And I think talking to today, Joachim, maybe even broadening this out to the whole concept of long-term research. You know, what role do we have, or what responsibility do we have as agronomists to initiate these long-term projects? How do you fund those, and what type of responsibility do we have to do that? One that came up a little bit last year, and I did a little wordsmithing, but just drought avoidance and amelioration through management and genetics. So those are the ones that have been submitted. I'd like to open the floor for discussion of these additional ideas. What's everyone thinking? Any ideas? Any strong feelings one way or the other? One that I jotted down, or one I think maybe we should consider, possibly as a joint symposia with the community formerly known as A4. I don't know if we're going to have a symbol or what, but perhaps this morning it was put forth that there is going to be a need for agronomists, a lot of agronomists in the future. If you look at the average age of our membership, you know, we're not getting any younger. So who is going to train the extension agronomist and agronomist for the future? How do you fund applied programs? How do you recruit students into applied programs? So that's potentially another topic.
Any feelings one way or the other?
Yeah, anything you see that you just don't...
Yeah, I think the second one is like C1.
Yeah, I agree. There was another one that was submitted that I didn't put up here that I didn't think was relevant to our group. And I agree, C1 is probably a better home for the second one. What about the other topics, or Spartan? Yes, sir.
One of the thoughts that I've had is that along this same topic area is, how did we merge the public-private sector knowledge bases in the training of our future agronomists? With our major commodities, the private sector has its body of knowledge. Some of it proprietary, some of it they do on a routine basis, some of it is shared. A lot of it, particularly as it relates to agronomy, is borrowed from our public institutions. But the dialogue around communications, education, and the shared responsibilities of the entire professional sector, I think, is one of the
I agree. I think that's a good topic. I guess Vince and I could talk about with the formerly, whatever we're going to call the community, the agronomy extension, if that's something that we want to work on as a joint symposium. I see a lot of overlap there, which would still leave us open to having at least one, possibly two additional symposia in addition to that, depending on who takes the, which organization takes the lead on it. Yes, sir. Absolutely,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
The more crazy ideas,
what about genotype like man in your document?
I wish I had a really good talk today.
Drought avoidance is one we kind of did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was something 2 years ago as well. C2 kind of.
Okay, so we've hit that one pretty hard.
About something like Bert mentioned that, you know, this business about neutrality and, you know, fixed up data and this kind of thing is a real issue. I just saw a survey where they asked farmers if they trust company data, and they just said no. And yet company data is about all the deal is about the cases.
But did they in the same survey ask if they trust extension data?
You never have to ask that.
No, there is some older data, Emerson, that statistically we weren't any better off than the company data. The only data they really trusted was their own farm, which that to me seems somewhat of, you know, a contradiction to terminate. But
I don't know, it's been worked a little bit already, and I don't know if there's something that needs to be done, but the, you know, the some university data are neutral either, and I'm not quite sure where this dueling data thing is going to take us. Where is that going to take us?
Keep looking at me.
I mean, well, you're just sitting here. But it is. I mean, it's become sort of the battle for the hearts and minds instead of database, and that's both good and not good. Because everybody that says, I got this last week in our email, the results of a trial that was done by a company in Iowa on stock dissolver and stuff. So, and they had a, and they gave the raw data and they gave a CD and an LSD of less than 2 bushels, which is 250 bushels. And I asked them, I said, well, where did the data, the raw data showed there was a lot of variability. Control was rat collection plots. And I asked him, well, where were those two plots in the field that had them over there? Well, he emailed me just yesterday and said, I'm not sure I can tell you. But I'd sure like to gain some interest in test our product. And I said, well, I'm not going to base it on that. The question is, you know, when we harass people in companies to use statistics, and then when they do, they say, well, that can't be done. Because clearly, it's LSD cooking, right? Not the way the data went. So there's just this basic misunderstanding, I think, of what data is saying about the data. We've all seen these spreads of data, you know, fungicide response from negative to positive, the so-called nano graph. What do you make of that? How does that help? I think that's some of the thoughts I've had on this. Talked to Vince a little bit about it. But I'm not, it's not very good for me. And we still be talking a lot to myself. So,
maybe you want to tie that into this, some of the discussion today about if we can't do formalized variety testing, where we're always, as a public program, always behind the eight ball, basically, because the marketing machines create a turnover that basically allows us never to catch up. Could you tie that into that? What kind of methodologies are there to get kind of survey data, and how do you handle survey data, and is survey data ever publishable in crop science? Because it's a completely different shift in how we do our business.
So, go ahead, Ken. So, I guess could we possibly come up with a little bit larger umbrella, basically talking about what type of data will be generated, how will it be generated, which would include the kind of the on-farm large versus small plots, and who will generate it, and how will it be used? I don't know.
I think actually one of the old sessions last year, I think we had on the board was moving beyond the randomized complete plot.
Yeah.
Which is, has to capture some of those same ideas again. So is that one that is worthwhile pursuing?
That's certainly one that's a little different than what we've done before, but I think it's broad enough to have some appeal. I'll have to do a little wordsmithing and kind of float that back out there to you guys to see if I still have the original intent in the way I would write things. But there was one.
Just based on the tone of the room this morning, I think there's room to have some sort of dialogue about public-private cooperative methods. You keep talking to Monsanto and Pioneer about doing cooperative things, and we always run into these little roadblocks. But yet, you hear about some very successful things. You know, some of it's kind of small project stuff, but some it's as big as Joe Lauer's. Somebody that could give some successes, I think, in that, because I think both the industry and the public are really looking for ways, and maybe it would spark some interest.
I think you could build one around this GBIM question that came up earlier. And so my first question was, is it going to be larger or smaller? We heard conflicting results here in the future. Secondly, is it going to require a public partnership with industry? Ken was talking about a consortium of data, and I did point out the break that there's a company in Des Moines that does that. Premier Crop doesn't do any, nothing but descriptive statistics, but when you collect, you know, 1 million acres of information, I know that the co-ops that Premier Crops work with love the information. And they, whether or not it's predictive or not, they tease out a lot of interactions on how to manage
it. And it goes back to what kind of tools do we have to be able to clean stuff up that data. Because most of us never had training how to glean information out of that kind of stuff.
Okay. Any other discussion? Questions? I think what I'll do is take the comments today. I think we probably have at least a couple of symposia ideas. I'll do some wordsmithing, float that back out to you via email, and then we'll see what type of discussion that generates. Any new business that needs to be brought forward? I don't know. Bill left. I don't guess he wants to bring up the with the changes in A4 or within agronomy, the demolishing of C3. So I guess that won't be brought up as new business. So if there are no further items to discuss, I entertain a motion from the floor to adjourn. First, second. With that, I declare us adjourned here. So, see you next year.